Hello, hello, and welcome back to episode number 2 of the Punchin' Pod podcast with, of course, me, Sam Brady, and I'm joined again by Oscar. How are we, as usual?
I'm good, mate. Happy to be back on.
Good, good. We've got an interesting topic this week, and we're joined by Mo. How are we, mate?
I'm doing good. Excited to be a part of this podcast, honestly.
This episode, we will be talking about all sort of influencer crossover fights. Boys, we've just had Halloween, and I mean, last week we had a bit of a scarily bad performance from Tyson Fury. Oscar, I mean, there's only one place to start, really, and it is this fight. Somewhat what we saw. We watched it together, and I mean, we couldn't believe what we were watching, really.
Yeah, I think it was after the first two rounds, I sort of said to you, like, although Fury was winning those opening rounds, I said Francis looks a lot better than what I thought he would be. And then it just so happened that in round 3 was a big moment that he landed that hook, which put Fury on the canvas. As we've heard from a lot of people now, it was a case of Fury just underestimating Francis Ngannou. Like, no one expected Francis to look as good as he did. No one expected Fury to look as bad as he did. And I think that's basically what happened. It was Fury taking his eye off the ball massively. And I think, obviously, none of us were privy to see what happened during that training camp. I think even at the highest level of boxing, you have to have had a good enough training camp to even be like lesser opposition. So I think it just came down to the fact that he was so underprepared for that fight. And ultimately, Francis capitalised on that and basically shocked the world.
Mate, it was unbelievable. I know, as I said, we were watching it together and we couldn't believe what we were watching. I mean, there's been a lot of people saying that it was a robbery and Francis should have won. And look, I personally don't think it was a robbery. I think the term robbery gets thrown around a lot. And I think that's when you have a clear winner. And I think this wasn't one of those cases. I think, get onto it, but it was much, if the listeners have watched the Tommy KSI fight, I think we touched on it last week a little bit, where it was similar to that, weirdly, both Fury brothers involved in controversial decisions. But it was a bit like that, where it could have and it probably should have gone Francis's way, but it didn't, and it's one of them. And Fury was shockingly bad. That's the worst Fury I've ever seen. And I think, as you touched on, he seemed to just underestimate everything about Francis. He did what he said, to be fair, in the first couple of rounds, where he came forward and he put pressure on Francis. But I think as soon as he got hit with that left hook in the third round, he thought, oh shit, like, this guy's got power. I need to, like, give him his space. I need to respect him. Francis was better than we expected, I think. And Fury was a lot worse than we ever could imagine. I don't know, Mo, what your thoughts on it? You watched the fight. What were you thinking at the time?
Look, I think what you mentioned was a very important point. I think Tyson did not give Francis enough credit before the fight. He did not take him seriously. He thought he'd, like any other MMA athlete we've seen come into the boxing ring, none of them have impressed as much as Francis Ngannou has impressed. And what he was able to do in the first 3 rounds, I think, like, I don't know what happened between Tyson and his coaches and what happened there, but I'm sure they told him to lay off a little bit, make sure you don't get caught again. Because if he got caught again, it would have been game over. So I think Tyson quickly realized what he needed to do, kept his distance, made sure he doesn't get hit, made sure he doesn't get caught again. I think Ngannou might have lost the fight on results, but in the fans' eyes, I think he won the fight.
Yeah, that's the thing you mentioned there about after the third round, as I said as well, I think Tyson thought, okay, here. After the fifth round, probably, it took him a bit later, even after getting knocked down. I think after the fifth round, he thought, okay, I need to actually just get out of here and get the win. I just rewatched it back. And for me, I scored it at the time for Francis, and I still would probably score it Francis, just purely off the fact that, okay, both fighters didn't actually throw that much. It was a defensive and cautious approach from both, but I think you can give Francis that excuse. It's his first professional fight against Tyson, so obviously he's going to be not as like eager to throw the massive punches, but saying that, I think he did land the most effective punches in the fight. Oscar, I don't know what you thought. What do you make of the event as a whole, of the aftermath now? And do you want to touch maybe just a bit on the undercard and any fighters that stood out to you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the event itself, make no mistake about it, it was phenomenal. And obviously that's a reflection of the money that's been injected into it. But when you saw that ring come from beneath the ground and just rise up, it was like something out of the Rocky films. It was like something out of Rocky IV. It was quite a special moment, really. None of us had seen anything like that before, but compliment that side of it. You had people like Eminem, I think Kanye West might have been there. They were all ringside. Obviously, the Saudis paid ridiculous money to get them over here. They didn't come for free. I think it was reported that Eminem got around $3 million, or Mike Tyson got even $3 million to just sit ringside to watch that fight. So it shows you what Saudi are trying to do in terms of bringing boxing to the Middle East and obviously increasing that profile. But with the undercard, I think obviously the standout performance was Fabio Wardley in the chief support. It was built up as a 50-50 fight between him and David Adley. I think Fabio proved that he's just a level above David, and ultimately he can step on beyond British level now. I think a seventh round stoppage in that fashion has put him in great stead to fight the likes of Joseph Parker, who's been mentioned, who was also on the undercard and had a solid performance there.
We obviously made our predictions. I mean, it's not great when we've only had one episode out and we've already had some controversial takes. I think you called Fury the king of contradiction and said he'd stop Francis between 7 and 10 rounds. It didn't quite go like that. I mean, we were watching it with Eduardo, bless him, one of our friends. He's a lovely guy, but he's not as into obviously boxing and stuff. And by the 10th round, he was laughing at us. He was saying, "You guys told me that Francis doesn't really have a chance and Tyson will get him out of it," and saw what transpired. From Francis' perspective, Mo, where does he go from this?
I still think Ngannou has a lot more to do in the UFC, but with the situation with Dana White, it's a difficult situation to get over, honestly. With everything that has already transpired and everything that has already happened, I think Dana's the type of person that would blackball somebody and like not really get back, like not get a healthy relationship back. But I do think in this situation, it's different. I do think in this situation, now that Francis went out and put that performance on, Dana would 100% be willing to get back on a call with him, try to get him back in the UFC, try to make the fight with Jon Jones happen. That could be the biggest fight in MMA history. Jon Jones versus Francis Ngannou. That's from a standpoint of if he goes back to his where he started. If he doesn't go back to where he started, I think he deserves another chance in boxing. He deserves another chance against one of the top heavyweights in boxing. Off the top of my head, I think Deontay would be a good fight just because of the punches, like the power of the punches. You know, Saudi can make any fight happen at this point.
Yeah, I think Dan Hardy summed it up perfectly. If the fight was for the baddest man of the planet, which it was marketed as, that is Francis. Even though he lost the fight, I think consensus is he was a moral victory for him.
With regards to other possible opponents that Francis could fight in the meantime, I think that's a great shout for Mo. The Deontay Wilder fight is really intriguing. Obviously, the two potentially hardest punching combat sports athletes in history. I think Francis actually mentioned on Ariel Helwani's show that Deontay Wilder was training MMA and he might want to fight Francis in the octagon. So obviously we've not seen that side as much in terms of boxers crossing over to MMA. But if that does happen and Deontay Wilder somehow learns all the grappling, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, all the wrestling that's required for that discipline, then that could be, again, just a really intriguing matchup. Obviously, you favour Francis massively, but I do think if it's not Tyson Fury, someone like a Deontay Wilder or even Anthony Joshua, who's been mentioned, would be equally as exciting.
Funny you mentioned there the sort of going into MMA. We've never seen a boxer go into the cage. It's always been, obviously, MMA fighters coming into the ring most. Surely this is the best MMA fighter who's gone into boxing.
Definitely the best MMA fighter that's gone into boxing. And not just because of the performance itself, it's because who he went up against. Yeah. Like Nate Diaz, we've seen Nate Diaz go up against Jake Paul. We've seen Ben Askren go up against Jake Paul. We've seen Tyron Woodley get two chances at Jake Paul. These are all former previous champions in the UFC. These are supposedly legends of the game. And none of them were able to put up a performance against somebody that's been boxing for 3-4 years. Francis Ngannou came against a guy that's been boxing ever since he came out of the womb. This guy got boxing in his blood, in his DNA. His father's John Fury. What more can we say? Like that by itself is enough to let you know who Tyson Fury is without even knowing anything about his history. And in my opinion, yes, you can probably call it, this is the best crossover performance we've ever seen.
In the space of a couple of weeks now, Oscar, we've seen both Fury brothers fight in crossover events. Why are they becoming more and more popular now? In the past year or so, it's just crossover fights, whether that's misfits or exhibitions like this, have just boomed.
Yeah, no, you are right. I think they're both massive for different reasons. So obviously, the Fury and Ngannou fight was huge because you had the former UFC heavyweight champion and then the current boxing heavyweight champion collide in a boxing ring. That's always going to generate a huge amount of interest because the audience is boxing and MMA. Sort of purpose of a crossover fight in that sense is to bring the two audiences together. In terms of the Tommy Fury KSI fight, that's another instance where two audiences have crossed over because you have Tommy Fury, who has obviously appeared on Love Island, so he's got that reality TV fame, but also the boxing world is at least partially interested in Tommy Fury, although I don't think anyone expected anything to come from his career, to be honest. But you've got KSI's audience on YouTube and all these other platforms that he promotes his content. So I think in that sense, with the audiences that these individuals can reach out to, that they're always going to deliver huge numbers and people will always tune into the fights.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it comes down to the actual fighters themselves. The lack of stars in boxing compared to these crossover influence fights and the lack of storylines. The UFC have done it for years in terms of building up these stars, building up narratives, pre-fight with press conferences and stuff like that. Obviously, the best one of them was Conor McGregor in the UFC. But I think now with boxing's in a real rut in terms of the actual stardom of the fighters. AJ isn't obviously what he used to be. He hasn't got that clout, having losing to Usyk and stuff. Tyson Fury, alongside this and ducking Usyk, has lost a lot of credibility through that as well. I think you've got Usyk, who obviously technically is amazing, but isn't the biggest star when it comes to like media and things like that. Whereas I think if you compare that to Misfit, throughout the card they build storylines. Even on the undercards, you have OnlyFans models like Astrid Wett and stuff like that beefing it with their opponents. You have Salt Papi beefing it. You have all these different fighters, and then obviously you get to, whether you agree with it or not, Dylan Danis and Logan Paul, and Dylan Danis's approach and the storyline and the narrative he built up before his fight. It was almost like in that fight, that was the main event instead of KSI Tommy Fury, just purely off the fact of the narrative pre-fight. So I think we're getting to a stage where promotions and especially Misfits are looking at boxing and going, do you know what? If we just make this little tweak in terms of matchmaking and concentrating more about sales and pay-per-views than actually who's going to be ranked where and what the next fights are after this fight, I think they're thinking we can make a lot of money from this. What's your opinions on this, Mo?
I'll even want to take it back even before Misfits, before I even comment on what I think Misfits are have been doing. Even before Misfits, at the start of influencer boxing back in, what, 2017, 2018, was that the first fight? Like, that's now, what, 6-7 years ago? I don't know if Oscar would agree with me, but this boxing has always had the problem that boxers always tend to postpone their fights. If they think it's a difficult fight, they'll tend to want to not do it at the time where it's the peak. So basically, example that comes to my mind, Floyd Money Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao. I remember there were years where everybody was talking about this fight happening. It was the peak, and then they ended up doing it years after. And that's the problem, I think, that Misfits is actually dealing with well.
Just going to say, the UFC are the perfect example of that. Dana White, I would say, is the best promoter most of the time in putting fighters that the fans actually want to see, the two fighters that are the best in the world. We just had Islam Makhachev versus Alexander Volkanovski. They are two fighters in the peak of their careers fighting for the belt.
That's very true. And what Misfits are also doing, they're adding, I hate to make this comparison, but they're adding a little bit of the WWE aspect to it, World Wrestling Entertainment, basically, in my opinion. They're doing the storylines, and I think that's what grabs people in. That's what makes people interested. If the story's good, people are going to be interested in it. Whether you're a boxing fan, whether you're a YouTube fan, whether you don't know anything about both worlds, but if there's a good story going on, you're in it. They grab you in it. They grab your attention. The one positive I can really, really admire about Misfits is they're trying to get the fans involved and give the fans what they want.
Obviously, there has been a problem in boxing where a lot of the big fights don't get made. And when they do get made, the fighters are way past their prime. So it's not a fan-friendly fight when they're actually in the ring with each other. That's one of the problems. The second problem, obviously, what Mo's been talking about is the fact that the storylines aren't really there in boxing. And the thing that frustrates me the most is the fact that every boxer's got a fascinating story to tell, but that's not being relayed to the media. Fans aren't able to see this because fighters, more often than not, will not tell their story in front of the camera or in an interview. Whatever reason that is, it needs to change. And that's where they can take some inspiration from what Misfits are doing. And in terms of Misfits maybe being damaging to the sport of boxing, I don't necessarily see it like that, because ultimately what they're doing is quite separate to professional boxing in terms of the, as Mo would describe, the WWE aspect and everything else.
Some of these influencers, when they fight, you can tell haven't trained properly, and they put in maybe a couple weeks training on the pads, but nothing serious. And I mean, it's one of them where, do we expect them to put in the training? Me personally, I think if you step into a boxing ring, the minimum I expect you to do is to train for the fight. And I think this is where they could hit some hurdles, in the fact that if we do see an influencer get into a ring and the matchup isn't great, what happens when an influencer does get seriously hurt? And we saw a little bit of this in the Logan Paul, Dylan Danis ending, where the massive brawl happened and everyone jumped into the ring, where when effectively shit does hit the fan and boxing shows its brutality and what actually can happen if you don't take the sport seriously, they're going to face a lot of criticism from mainstream media and from traditional boxing fans, to be like, this was coming. And I wrote an article, and I think I put in the sentence, as long as the circus continues, the clowns will follow. And They will always generate eyeballs, and they will always generate new influencers who will want to fight. I was speaking to a journalist earlier today about now we're seeing other celebrities that aren't YouTubers, who aren't on Instagram, but just actual regular celebrities being like, do you know what? I want an easy payday, and so get me into a ring. So I think that is something they need to watch out for. You went down to a boxing gym a couple of weeks ago, and you spoke to a very interesting person who had interesting opinions on this. Just want to tell us a bit more about that, Oscar?
Yeah, so I spoke with Marnie Swindles, who won the most recent series of The Apprentice on BBC. She owns Bronx Boxing Club in Camberwell, South London. And she was basically looking at influencer boxing from a business standpoint more than anything. And the way Misfits markets itself and the way these influencers market themselves, if the boxing world can take something from that and use it to their advantage, then that can only benefit the sport going forward. So that's ultimately what she was saying.
I think, love it or hate it, you can't miss it. Yeah. What they're doing is they're making a real statement of how to sell yourself, how to promote fights. And I think it was 1.3 million pay-per-view sales for the KSI fight that's just gone. That is astounding. Mm. And there's definitely a leaf to be taken out of the Misfits book, what they're doing, what they're creating. You can take all of those elements and add the credibility of professional boxing, and the whole professional boxing landscape would look entirely different. But to be totally honest, I think some of the professional boxing world needs to get their head out of their arse and see what's happening and take note, because it could be a much bigger, more powerful force to be reckoned with if they stop turning a blind eye to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think it would benefit the fighters, it would benefit the promoters, it would benefit the world of boxing. I don't think there should be any crossover. I think the two sports should remain separate. But I do think there's a lot to be learnt there.
In that clip, she mentioned about love it or hate it, you can't miss it. And traditional boxing promoters need to take a leaf out of the Misfits book. Do you think that is the case?
Like, yeah, we do have stars in boxing. But if we take a look back maybe 10, 15 years, we had way more. There were way more boxing stars. Like Sam mentioned, 1.3 million pay-per-view buys for an event that technically the longest person that's been boxing on the event is Tommy Fury. Come on. Come on. That alone should be enough to tell you that there's obviously there's issues in the boxing world. You're right. The problem might occur one day that somebody that didn't train enough, that didn't put the hard work that a real boxer would put before he gets in the ring, and he might, like, somebody might get hurt in the ring. But I do think the Misfits management have been managing that very well, and I do think they have spent a lot of money. I've read somewhere on an article that they spend a lot of money on making sure every fighter is healthy. KSI is a very smart businessman, I think, and I think the Misfits will carry on long after he stops boxing.
You mentioned there about KSI and Misfits will be there long after he starts fighting. What's the next fight for him? It's got to be Jake Paul, right, Mel?
I think Jake Paul is the right fight now. I think a Tommy Fury rematch would make sense as well. But since Jake Paul also lost to Tommy Fury and didn't get his rematch, it'll be a lot more convenient for it to be Jake Paul versus KSI. And I think that fight will sell a lot more than KSI did versus Tommy Fury, or Jake Paul did versus Tommy Fury. Because I think that's the fight that's the peak of influencer boxing and YouTuber boxing. This is what it's been building up for the last 7-8 years. Everybody's been waiting for that one big match, Jake Paul versus KSI. I think both of them have put a lot of hard work into learning the art of boxing. I'd love to hear what Oscar's thoughts on their, like, performances from what he's seen are, and like what they and how they perform inside the ring, how they train, how hard they train, how serious they take it. If he believes that these are Like, we can look at the influencers that are not taking it seriously and they're just getting in the ring for the payday. But we're talking about people that are putting kind of a legacy on the line. This is something that'll always be on the internet. Oscar, I'd love to hear your thoughts about their performances, on their skills in general. Where do you think they rank among real boxers?
Well, I think in terms of their performances, we saw in that KSI Tommy Fury fight, whether you class someone doing star jumps in the middle of a fight as obviously grasping the fundamentals of boxing or learning the art of boxing, I think that's quite a concerning thought, really. But ultimately, I think, given the amount of time they've spent trying to learn the sport, they have done considerably well. Like Jake Paul, he it, it if he obviously carries on with the sport, I think he's got the basis of a sort of decent level fighter. When I say decent level fighter, I think he could win probably like a mediocre level title. Just purely based off the fact that he does look like he carries a bit of power, and power goes a hell of a long way in the sport of boxing. But with KSI, like he had a close fight with Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury's not a real boxer. He comes from a boxing family, but he's not shown us anything in a boxing ring that would even remotely suggest that he could push on and start challenging for titles. So I think in terms of KSI's performance, there's not there's not much of a future there for him in the sport, just purely based off the fact that he looks very green in a lot of these fights, and I don't think he's grasped the fundamentals of the sport as well as maybe someone like a Jake Paul.
Mo, do we want to see Tommy Fury fight in the influencer scene again? For me personally, watching Tommy Fury and the likes of Anthony Taylor, technically they might be okay boxers, but the whole point of Misfits and the influencer crossover scene is for entertainment. We're not here to watch the best boxers fight. We know we're not going to get that. So when fighters like Tommy Fury and like Anthony Taylor come from the pro scene into the influencer scene and win, but in boring fights, do we actually want to see them fight again, even though they're getting wins?
Honestly, I'd like to quote this back to something that Oscar said. I don't think Tommy's a real boxer. I really don't. Like, I don't think he'll survive. Like, he might have had a fought a few journeymen along the way, and I don't want to be the one that to say, oh, that journeymen are easy fights. So at the end of the day, they're all boxers. But at the end of the day, there's a reason that Tommy Fury is here in influencer boxing, and he's not winning world titles like he said he would. I think that he prefers influencer boxing. I think he prefers being on Love Island and having a name for himself and like building a. And at the end of the day, I'm not here to blame him for that. If that's what it is for him, then that's what it is. But that's not what like real boxing stems from. And I do think that Tommy would and will still fight in the influencer scene. And I do think a fight with Logan Paul will also be on the table at one point, just because he'll know that he'll make enough money from that fight, and he'll know he'll be able to call it the trilogy or whatever he wants to say. He mentioned it in the press conference after the Misfits fight that he wouldn't mind fighting Logan Paul just to complete the trilogy.
Do you think, Mo, we'll see more of these sort of not so great pro boxers have a shot in the influence scene because they know they might make a name for themselves? And if that is the case, are we then in danger of sort of losing this sort of entertainment amateur-y vibe of the Misfits event?
Another name that we haven't mentioned is also is a pro boxer, like Idris Virgo, basically trains with the KSI team. And Idris Virgo is obviously a very talented boxer, in my opinion, from what I've seen. And I think Misfits are going to try to bring in more real boxers on more cards and do a mix of basically entertainment plus boxing. And I do also think that it could benefit boxers in the future if misfits are the ones that are taking control of the cards. Yeah, we can have an influencer boxing match on the undercard, but we can also have a real boxing match on the main event. But I think where it benefits boxers the most to be on a Misfits card is they built their character on the Misfits card. Misfits helped them build a character, help them build a story, and that makes people be interested more in them.
Oscar, what does the traditional boxing landscape look alongside this influencer crossover landscape? Can they coexist?
Well, I think it's important to actually keep them separate because although you two mentioned the possibility of professional boxing fights being on the same card as a Misfits fight, I don't see how that would necessarily work just because the two, well, Misfits are reaching out to a certain audience, which would be a younger generation. Whereas boxing, you've obviously got much older guys, and you've got the traditional boxing fans that they have to appeal to, but also the younger ones. I think the younger ones cross over to Misfits a little bit more, but still watch traditional boxing. So I think you just got have to be a bit careful that the two don't get mixed up, and then in terms of whether they can coexist, I think they definitely can. Boxing can take something from Misfits, Misfits can take something from boxing, and then they can both sort of their trajectory can kind of be quite similar in that sense.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I love boxing. Don't get me wrong, I love boxing. It's sort of that thing of how can you can't say Misfits. You can't look at Misfits and go, we deserve that. You should boxing and their and traditional promoters should look at Misfits and go, why aren't we like that? What are we doing wrong that we aren't like that? I think to sort of look at them and go, we should be like that, sort of jealousy. And they've fair play to Mams Taylor and Kayla Sauerland and all the Misfits guys. They found a niche in boxing. They found a gap in the market that no one wanted to go near because they wanted to protect their boxing brand and they didn't want to lose the bo traditional boxing fans. Whereas actually, it's gone the other way where I would say Misfits are picking up loads and loads more fans. Look at the pay-per-view numbers because they're appealing to just the Joe Bloggs on the street who isn't really into boxing but might watch the odd fight. But you whack a YouTuber that he watches on a card and you put him up against someone who that YouTuber hates and put him in a ring together. Boxing's always been a sport where it draws eyeballs. It's a blood sport. People love two fighters fighting out. And that's why I think Jake Paul KSI fight, that was always the fight we wanted because it's two, not only one of the biggest YouTubers in the UK and the biggest influencers in America, but they also hate each other. And it's also ego. And it's all of that playing on that masculine sort of ego that Misfits really play on. Boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Mo, first episode, how have you enjoyed it?
I've honestly enjoyed the. It's like we're sitting together, like every day we do sit together and we talk. It's very similar. I enjoyed talking to you guys. I enjoyed hearing your opinions, what you guys thought. Thank you guys for having me, honestly. It's been a
Mate,
pleasure.
it's always a pleasure, and I guess we could have you back sometime soon.
Hopefully soon enough, review some new Misfits cards.
Oscar, always been a pleasure, pal.
Yeah, mate, I enjoyed that one, and thanks for to Mo for coming on. That was really good to hear his insight. I thought we had a lot of good things to say, so yeah, good episode.
And don't forget to check out Oscar's article. It's live now. If you want to see more about what Marnie said, it's out live on the Sports Gazette. And don't forget to tune in next week to the Punch and Pod for episode 3. But for now, thanks for listening.